Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Solomon says, act decisively in your life. Remember the Creator. When do you act decisively as far as God is concerned? He says, while you're young. Therefore, everybody will be judged. Everybody will stand before the Almighty. Everybody will be there before the throne of God and the throne of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means everything matters. Instead of nothing matters, everything matters, because everything we've done, we've said, will be called into account before God Almighty in judgment.
The truth is, every choice you make matters. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his message, What Really Matters, and encourages you to carefully consider the choices you make while filled with a confidence that God loves you no matter what. Stick around, Dr. Young is coming up next. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, if you're like most people, you've experienced some trials this year, sickness or fear, maybe loneliness, just to name a few. That's why Dr. Young wants to encourage you today by sending you his son Ben's brand new book called Survive the Day, Thriving in the Midst of Life's Storms. This book shows you how to draw from God's strength and trust in His promises in these uncertain times. We'll send you Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, What Really Matters, Part 2.
Look at the beginning of chapter 12. And by the way, chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 8, tells us that time matters, T-I-M-E, time. And look what he says. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. The word remember here doesn't mean I make a list. Here's all the groceries I'm to supply. This is what I'm to do. These are birthdays I need to remember. That's not what this word means. The word remember usually in the Hebrew language means, listen, to act decisively for someone else. Nail that down. To remember means you act decisively on behalf of somebody else. So what is Solomon saying? He says, remember, act decisively on the Creator. By the way, God is the only creator that has ever created anything, because He is the only creator. Not going too fast, anybody, am I? And He created everything we see, everything that has been, everything is, everything that will be. It's called ex nihilo. He created out of nothing. Solomon says, act decisively in your life. Remember the Creator. When do you act decisively as far as God is concerned? He says, while you're young. I've talked to so many people who are in their latter years about Christ, and they lived a totally humanistic, secular life. Maybe they were good. Maybe they're evil. Maybe they had a mixed bag. Maybe they thought they were going to do enough, give enough to get to heaven. But I've talked to them about God and Christ and about grace, about being a Christian. And so many of them have said, oh, yes, I want that. And they've received Christ. But so many of them, They had lived so long in the far, far country away from God, even though now they had gone back home, they had trouble changing, adapting to the lifestyle of someone who walks with the Almighty. There was jadedness there. There was a crustiness there. There was a language there, a manner of thinking there that is so difficult when your life is set in old age to let God in Christ do all the changing that's necessary. So very wisely, Solomon says, remember, act decisively. Remember on the Creator, on God, do business with Him while you're young. Most of us become a Christian when we're young. How many of you here became a Christian before you were 30? Would you lift your hand? I'll rest my case. Remember, act decisively on the basis of God. You're on your Creator, on God. Respond to Him while you're young. That's the first thing the psalmist says that matters. 11 chapters, nothing matters. He said that matters. Then he said the next thing is matters is the aging process. And he gives us some beautiful, sometimes tragic, sometimes humorous pictures of getting old. Look at them here. He said, verse 2. He said, verse 1, first of all, the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. We're getting old and decrepit. Verse 2. He said, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, he's talking about we slow down mentally. That's a part of the aging process. Verse 3, in the day that the watchmen of the house tremble and mighty men stoop. That's our legs, that's our arm, our watchmen. We tend to stoop and our legs aren't as confident as they once were. That's a part of the process. The grinding ones stand idle because they are few. This is your teeth, my teeth. Won't develop that. And those who look through the windows grow dim. This is our eyesight. Man, a couple of years ago, I took a woman in our church who was 103, a big print Bible. And she said, I don't need this Bible. I don't need that big print. And I went back and found her a Bible. The print was about that big. And she says, I can read every word of it. She is the exception. By the way, she's now, I think, 106. And active and strong. And if she doesn't win in bingo about every fourth day, she really gets it. Anyway. Talking about your eyes. Our eyes get dimmer. Furthermore, men are afraid of high place and terrors on the road. I can't drive at night. And the almond tree blossoms, white hair. The grasshopper drags himself along. That's the whole body. And the canterbury is ineffective. That's his sexual drive. For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about street. He's saying, hey, remember your youth. Your youth matters. Remember the aging process. Then he says, death is going to come. Remember him. Act decisively on the faces of God before and about the silver cord is broken. The golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered. And the wheel of the cistern is crushed. That your mind, perhaps a stroke, and your heart does not function. And he gets to the end, he says, vanity of all vanities, says Solomon, all is vanity. All does not have any value, any meaning, any significance in life. But he says, I'll tell you what does matter. Youth, the aging process, and death. Then he says, that's the first thing that matters, but he gives us the second thing that matters, and you'd be surprised at this. It's words, words. Look at verse 9. In addition to being a wise man, the preacher Solomon also taught the people knowledge. And he pondered and scratched, and he searched out and arranged many proverbs. He looked at some 13,000 of them. He picked out those that were most relevant. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. Solomon has written down words of truth. Let me tell you something. Somebody who is secular, somebody who has no belief in God, they enjoy the book of Ecclesiastes. Bono, the rock and roll guy, he says Ecclesiastes is one of the most influential books of his life. Tom Wolfe, who just died, a foremost American novelist, said it's the greatest word that's ever been written. Generally, they look at life independent of God, not always. And therefore, they read Ecclesiastes and said, here are all the profound questions. This really describes life without God vividly, clearly, correctly. And we see how Solomon carefully chose his words. Words matter. In verse 11, the words of wise men are like gourds. They're like that which gourd us. And masters of these collections are like well-driven nails, and they are given by the shepherd. What's he saying? He's saying words are goads. They goad us. What is a goad? A goad is a sharp stick. Would you take an animal and you would stick him, not to hurt him seriously, but to make him move on? Or you would take a goad and you would stick an animal to keep him on the path. This is what words do. This is what the Word of God does for us. It's a goad saying, hey, don't just stay there. Move on out. It's a goad. You're wandering off the path. That goads us back on the path. Words are goads. And also, words are more than goads. They stimulate us. They inspire us. They bring life back into us. And look what else he says. Very wonderful things. He says, they are driven by shepherds and they are nails. See it there? What happens? We have the Word of God in us and it becomes a nail that nails down in our minds, nails down in our hearts. So many times I start to do something and bang, a verse of scripture will pop up. I say, oh my goodness, what in the... And see, these proverbs, these sayings, the truth of God, they goad us, they move us along, they keep us on the path, and they nail truth down within you and within me. That's what they're nails. And who is the one who uses the goad? Who is the one who drives the nail? It's the shepherd. Who is the shepherd? It's the Lord. It's God. It's God as the good shepherd directing your life and my life as we live under the sun, if we recognize him who is above the sun. So we see words are important. And then he talks about many words here. Look at this. Verse 12, but beyond this, my son, he warned, the writing of many books is endless. Excessive devotion in books is wearying to the body. So many times we are looking for shiny objects. That's a syndrome. I want something that shines, something that glows. I want something that encourages. I want something that brings about applause and rage. I'm looking for excitement. I'm exploring all the realms of hedonism. It's a sin, looking for shiny objects. And we say, I want to find God and know God, but I've got more questions. I haven't looked at every religion in the world yet. I haven't studied all the philosophical truths yet. And anytime we have an answer, these people, they always have another question. And here's another answer, here's another question. And Solomon says, you can spend all of your life questions and answers and question and answers and never land. Never make a decision. I thought about C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce. I'm going to take liberty with it, but Lewis said there was a man who spent years and years outside on the suburbs of hell. I'm going to let this represent hell over here. You're not angry, are you? I think it may work pretty good as I look around. So here's hell. And here's a man who walks around the excerpts of hell asking questions. Where is God? Why did God do this? I want to know more about God. What does this mean about the eternal? And he spends years and years on the suburbs of hell asking questions. And then one day he wanders around And he wanders over to heaven. And he's on the outskirts of heaven. I don't know if this works over here or not. Maybe excluding the orchestra. And he looks at heaven and he walks around the outskirts of heaven, C.S. Lewis says, and he's asking questions. And then God's Spirit comes out and says, I invite you to come into heaven. But when you come into heaven, no more questions. Heaven isn't a place for questions. In heaven, all we have are answers. And you will see the face of God. And the man said, you know, I've spent my whole life on the basis of inquiry, on the basis of study and science, and the basis of trying to figure all this out. I don't know if I'm quite ready to go in there and where there's only answers and I'll see the face of God. I'm not quite ready. And the Spirit of God says, when you were a child, you spake as a child, you thought as a child. He said, now why don't you become an adult? No, he said, why don't you really become a child? A child asks a question, a child gets an answer, they're satisfied. And the voice says, unless you become like a child, you'll never get to heaven. We'll forgive you for your life of meaningless, your life of wandering around, acting like a modern-day Socrates. But he said, hey, come on in, we'll forgive you. You'll have all your answers, and you'll see the face of God. And the man said, I think I'll wait. And he turns around and says, oh, I've got an appointment. I've got an appointment with a committee in hell in which we're going to have conversations about things. My next question is, tell me one thing you've ever done or changed as a result of those conversations. I don't think I'd have a lot of comeback. Listen, there's a time to talk and discuss, then there's a time to move into action. There's a time to speculate about all of our problems, and then there's a time to do something about all of our problems. There's a time to ask questions about God and life and space, and there's a time to receive divine answers and respond to God and what He means about life. That is what Solomon is saying. Don't spend all your time speculating somewhere. You have to respond to truth. And he says, that matters. Time matters. While you're young, aging process, death will come. Time matters. And then he moves on. He says, let me tell you what else matters. Look at our verse. He says in verse number 13, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God. Let me tell you what matters. Worship. There we are. Worship. Time matters. Words matters. Worship matters. And then he says, look what else matters. Morality. He says, keep the Ten Commandments. Keep His commandments because they applies to every person. Literally, that phrase means when we worship and we're moral and keep the commandments, we become whole, W-H-O-L-E. Everybody becomes whole. We're broken, we have holes, H-O-L-E is, and now we become whole and complete. That's what happens. Time matters. Words matter. Worship matters. Morality matters. And then I want you to look at this last verse that we're studying. This summarizes the whole book, but it staggers me. Verse 14, for God will bring every act to judgment, say judgment, to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Three major judgments in the Bible. First of all, there is the judgment of heaven. Revelation 20, great white throne, the judgment of those who did not believe, those who are not Christians. There's a judgment in heaven. There's a judgment on earth. Matthew 25, this is a judgment of all the nations, the sheep and the goat, judgment on earth. There's a judgment in air. This is a judgment of Christians and believers. 2 Corinthians 5, Thessalonians 1, 4, and many other places, we will be called into account before God. Therefore, everybody will be judged. Everybody will stand before the Almighty. Everybody will be there before the throne of God and the throne of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means everything matters. Instead of nothing matters, everything matters, because everything we've done, we've said, will be called into account before God Almighty in judgment.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, if we accept the truth that everything matters to God, how could someone's life look different if they fear God and keep His commandments?
It's difficult to keep His commandments. We do not do that by effort. I have tried so many, many times to keep His commandments. I've written down things I'm going to do. I've written down things I'm not going to do. And logically, with my mind, I say, I'm going to walk this disciplined path. I'm going to be different. I'm going to make this New Year's resolution. You know what's the truth? We fall short almost every time. Plato said that the way you live a good life is you get educated, because if you're educated, you know when I do something evil, man, bad results come. If I do something good, good results come. And Plato says, everybody gets educated, man, we'll live a good, whole, effective life, a good life. You know, that's not right. What's the flaw of the argument that education answers everything? I'll tell you what it is. Your passions are stronger than your reason. My passions are stronger than my reason. And therefore, to live that good life, to be inside the parameters and principles of God, the Holy Spirit has to come in Christ and enables you and enables me to be obedient to His word and to realize these commandments are for our protection. They do not limit us. They free us up. How in the world can you play a football game and somebody's playing touch and somebody's playing tackle, somebody's running by this set of rules, somebody's running by another set of rules? You have mayhem. You don't have any game. God says, you're in my kingdom. You're on my team. Here are the parameters you are to live. Here are the commandments by which your life will flourish. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power and the strength and the mental capacity and the emotional capacity and the will to live out those purposes.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope you're being encouraged through today's message and taking new steps in your own winning walk with Christ. We want to help you even further by sending you a brand new book from Dr. Young's son, Ben, called Survive the Day. Trials in life are inevitable, and sometimes difficult circumstances continue with no end in sight, while prayers for miracles seem to go unanswered. But in Survive the Day, Ben shares personal experience, hard-worn wisdom, and counterintuitive choices to help you flourish in life despite heartbreaking challenges. We're excited to send you a copy of Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being here today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young shares about the promises God's made to you and how you can rest in them every day.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Write us at Winning Walk, Box 3366, Houston, Texas, 77353. That's Winning Walk, Box 3366, Houston, Texas, 77353.